Always, as we near the end of the church year, the readings are about the end times, the kind of final resolution of all things. And of course, this is available in many of the readings throughout the year. It's always available in the liturgy. Because here, when we celebrate the Paschal Mystery, we're celebrating our remembrance of the past, which contextualizes our present, but also our longing for and our hope in that future glory, which also contextualizes our present. So now that I have you by myself, you know, this is a story of transformation. It's a story of evolution, and it's a story of creation. And I use those three words interchangeably. It's a story about evolution. You know, we don't want to be afraid of evolutionary theory. The church is fine with that. In fact, it was a Catholic priest who came up with the concept of the Big Bang. And so when I say evolution, don't get nervous about that. But so the explosion happens, and out from God, as a creative act of God, comes all of creation. And we're talking about billions of years of evolutionary explosive process of solar systems coming into being and dying off and coming into being and dying off. I mean, and the vastness of it is almost beyond our comprehension. And we barely understand the density of matter that would be a black hole. But all of this is part of God. All of this is created by God. And it's so hard for us to imagine, because we think of time in chronological terms, one moment happening after another, one event happening after another in a straight line. And so 12 to 14 billion years is just almost beyond our comprehension. But for God, that's just a speck of time. It's just nothing. Because God doesn't know time. God is infinity itself. And so billions of years are as of nothing to God. God's incredible patience as he not only watches this unfold and marvels at it and calls it good, but he's also intentionally creating it through that whole process. The process of creation didn't just begin with the Big Bang and then God walked away, but God is involved intimately and personally and lovingly in every moment of that creation all the way up until now. And if you take those 13 or 14 billion years, I'm not a scientist, I forget how many billion it is, and you put it on a 24-hour clock, humans come on the scene at the last second before midnight. That's how recent we are in this big picture of God's creation. And so as God is constantly creating the universe, he's also constantly creating the human race, and he's creating you and me. So our creation didn't stop with our birth. Yes, we have free will, and we have the freedom to make some good choices and some bad choices, and some things are our fault and some things aren't. But God never looked away from any moment of our lives. And our baptism was just a ritualization of the creation, of the continuing creation that God is working with us and transforming us more and more into his divinity. So it's evolution, but it's also creation, and it's also transformation. Because what's happening in all of this lengthy creation is that the universe reflects God more and more powerfully as it goes along. Not less, but more. And the human race reflects God more powerfully now than it did at the time of Adam and Eve. But the process is slow, and it's hard to realize, and you can't gauge it over short periods of time. Now, one of the great evolutionary theologians of the early 20th century, a Frenchman named Teilhard de Chardin, he said, people say to me, well, it's been 2,000 years since Christ, and we still have war, and we still have rape, and we still have poverty, and we still have injustice. I can't see that anything has changed in 2,000 years. And Teilhard's answer always was, 2,000 years, give us time. You know, 2,000 years is nothing for this evolutionary process that we get impatient with, but God doesn't seem to get impatient with it. God has this infinite patience with God's own creation and loves every step of the way and forgives the transgressions and tries to straighten out the wayward paths. And he's transforming us into his own image and likeness. So here we are in the already but not yet of the kingdom. And hard as that is for us to hold that together, these are diametric opposites. It's already and not yet, but it's so true. The already is that we have already been baptized into Christ Jesus. We're already members of his body. We're already children of God. St. Paul says, we're already God's children. What we will later be has not yet come to light, but we do know that when it comes to light, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are kingdom people in potentia. We have the potential residing within our very bodies and our souls. And so we're being transformed more and more powerfully, more and more closely into his image. So another way of looking at that is creation emanates out from God, but at some point turns the corner and returns to God. Everything that began in unity is going to end in unity. It's going to reflect God so powerfully and so perfectly that it will almost be God. And we humans will reflect Christ so perfectly that we will almost be Christ. We will share in that wonderful, miraculous union of divinity and humanity that was in Jesus will be in us. And even though we can't perceive it all that powerfully, it's in process. It is happening even as we speak. So how do we fit into all that? How do we live in a world that's imperfect, in a world that seems to be going away from God instead of toward God? At least a lot of the time. How do we live in that? Well, we live in hope. And the leg up that we Christians have is that we know the story. We already know how this story ends. Spoiler alert, you know, we know how the story ends. We know this is a comedy. It has a happy ending. How do we know that? By looking back. We look back to Jesus. We look back to Calvary and to the Last Supper and to the resurrection and the ascension, because we have already been shown what that perfect humanity is going to look like. It was Jesus, the God-man, who lived his life absolutely for others, never a thought about his own concerns, never jealous, never envious, never angry, never resentful, never doubting. Always in absolute union with the Father. We saw that in a human body, in a human person. We know what that looks like. And we know how it ends. Because after his death, he rose from death and ascended to the Father. And so he's already there. That future kingdom, we don't know how many million years away that is yet, but Christ is already there with his risen body. And so we know who we are. We know the context out of which we live. We live in the hope that is remembered. And the Mass is a memorial of the Last Supper in Calvary. So we know by looking back where we're going. And the Mass always celebrates all three tenses, past, present, and future. So we gather around here just like we do every Sunday. And we remember what Christ showed us about what will be. that's the context of our present living. And unlike the rest of the world that may get discouraged and depressed about the situation, we don't ever become completely discouraged because we live our lives in hope. The hope that's based on the past and dreams about the future. This is why we read readings about the end times, not to scare us. You know, sometimes we think these readings about the end times are trying to scare us into being good. Oh, watch out, because you never know when the end's going to come. And I think in many cases, parents, teachers, priests have misused that and said, oh, watch out, you know, get right, get ready, be careful, because you never know when the time is going to come. Well, that's not exactly what those readings are about. What those readings are about is saying, it's not right around the corner, it's now. It's already here. And it's up to us to access it. It's up to us to embrace that and begin to live that and pray for the transformation. Pray for grace. Pray for the ability to cooperate with grace. Pray for the ability to genuinely give thanks for it, to acknowledge it, and to take it into our lives. And we've been given as a sign of our hope, as a signal, as a sacrament, the Eucharist. Because if we can believe that this bread and wine can get transformed into the body and blood of Christ, then maybe we can believe that we can get transformed into Christ's body. That this huge project of God's called creation, called transformation, called evolution, includes all of God's creation, and it also includes little old me.